Pod, Scott and Todd, brand new year, same old ass bros. January 4th, 2020, though. Live and in the heezy here on the BroPod Network.
We are both wearing Todd beanets.
We are.
Or knit caps.
What is yours?
Mine's
I can't tell what yours is.
Under Armour. Yours is a Bucky's. Where'd you get that from?
Bucky's, baby. Where do you think I got it?
But which Bucky's? Like, I assume they're Colorado.
No, I've never been to a Bucky's. I mentioned this to you. I have a
probably.
I mean, I have many friends who are attorneys, as you know, because that's the industry I work in. But one of my attorney friends from the Nashville area, just out of the blue, a couple conferences ago, brought me some Bucky's gear. So I have a Bucky's hat.
Did you tell him you had a fondness for Bucky's? Or he
no,
just
not
like,
I never
everybody
heard
love
of it.
Bucky's.
I never heard it. He does have a southern accent. It doesn't sound cool like that. I never heard of it.
Hey man, everybody loves Bucky's, so I brought you some Bucky's stuff. Does he talk a little bit like that?
Try again. No.
I don't know.
Joel, I apologize for my brother. He's an idiot.
I mean, that is what some southern people sound like that.
Some. Not him.
I'm not familiar with a very specific Tennessee accent, but it could sound something like that.
You done?
I do believe
anyway,
so, yes. I declare.
Somehow, at one conference a couple years back, we were talking about that, and I was like, what? I'd never heard of it. I was like, what is
You're
Bucky's?
Talking about southern accents or gas
no,
stations?
We were talking about giant, unusually large gas stations that have an unnecessary plethora
sheets.
Of items to buy. Like sheets. Speaking of that, just to interrupt myself on my own story.
Of course.
They are building a, what's the other one? There's sheets.
Wawa.
What are, not a Wawa. It's one of the mega ones. I can't think of the name of it. If you said it, I'd recognize it. But anyway, they're actually building one out here, which I had not seen since my days back in the South. So I didn't realize they reach out here. But whatever. Point is, we don't have many of those. Most of the gas stations.
I'm looking up
are,
the big gas station chains.
Okay. I feel like it starts with a W, but I could be wrong. If I just hang on, I'll just pull up a map of my old.
It's giving me
grounds.
Speedway.
No.
That starts with a W.
I think it says Speedway. Definitely does start with a W. Yes. Let's see if I can find it before you can. I remember where one was in Greenville. So I'm just gonna see if I can reorient.
Zippia
myself.
Says ExxonMobil. Yeah, no shit, Shell.
Yeah, it's none of
I'm
those.
Looking for the Love's Travel.
Quick
Stocks.
Trip. It's a quick trip.
Yo, yeah, I would say sheets.
Sheets.
Speedway. Love's. What'd you say? Quick Trip?
Quick Trip. Quick Trip.
I don't feel like there's a bunch of Quick Trips around here. Quick Trip gas stations are across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa.
And South Carolina, apparently. Hang on. Yeah, here we go.
But this quick Trip that I'm looking at is with a K, but I feel like there's a Quick Trip with a Q as well.
Yeah, no, the one I'm talking about is both. It's Quick Trip.
Sorry, this one is Quick.
Yeah, no, not that one. So Quick Trip, most prevalent in Texas, not surprisingly, 256 locations. Then Georgia,
I believe they're all most prevalent in Texas.
Arizona. Let's just do a show of you doing horrific southern accents.
That's not a bad southern accent. My southern accent is not bad.
Arizona.
There's a lot
shut
of people
up and let
I know
finish.
That talk like this.
Where's the mute button for Todd? Friendly Arizona, horse. 143. Missouri, 137. And then on down the road. But there are 8 in Colorado, soon to be 9, unless the 8 that I'm looking at.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, soon to be 9. So, anyway, that's not anything exciting. It's just relevant. Jamie mentioned that to me the other day. They're building one just down the road from us.
Just a quick trip away from you.
But what I'm starting to say is the unusual thing about out here in the West, at least in the Denver area, is we actually have 7-Elevens, I don't know if that's relevant or not, but I think it is. As a result, most gas stations, like the actual hut, is the opposite of Buc-ee's. Like, you can buy cigarettes and you can pay for gas, and that's about it.
Oh, you're saying you have separate convenience stores.
We have separate convenience stores, yeah. Gotcha. There's half mile from here, there's a 7-Eleven that is a 7-Eleven. It's not a gas station.
Yeah. I feel like
I've never been
inside. 7-Elevens are the most prevalent
the Wawa's of the
convenience
West?
Store.
I mean, I assume so.
Sans gas station. I mean.
Without gas station being part of the location. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wawa's the same way, though. Wawa, some Wawa's have gas stations or gas as a part of it, and some don't. Some are just straight convenience.
Yeah, I feel like the more urban Wawa's. Stupidest phrase I've ever
Why is
used,
that?
Are less likely to have gas stations. All the Wawas around us have gas as well. And I don't mean like their patrons from eating their subs, but...
I mean, their subs and burritos, I'm sure they do. Anyway, Todd, to finish my story, coming full circle. So we just had the conversation, and then the next time I saw him 6 months later... He had this beanie. He had like a Buc-ee's can opener. What's their mascot? Like a little gopher or beaver? I guess a beaver, the Buc-ee beaver.
It's a beaver. It's on your head.
Yeah, but I'm not looking at it. And I can't tell what rodent it is. And a keychain can opener thing. I don't know. He just brought me some swag. Now that's just a running joke. I'll be seeing him again in a month at the next conference I'll be attending, and I will direct him toward this podcast in the hopes that maybe he'll bring me something else. I don't know what it could be. Buc-ee's Bites are the thing I keep hearing about. But again, you wouldn't know because that's a meat product. And I, no go.
Oh, no. Buc-ee's, they have like some weird popcorn, sweetened popcorn thing. That's what I thought
you were talking about. Is that
about.
What a Buc-ee's Bite
what it's
is?
Called, though.
I thought they were called Buc-ee's Bites. By the way, Todd.
Really?
Let us not forget, about 2 months ago, we talked at length about Buc-ee's, if you recall. We were looking at their career opportunities, talking about how much a Buc-ee's manager makes, the locations of Buc-ee's. So we don't need to go in depth with this too much. But yes, the Buc-ee's Bites. I thought they were some meat product, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's like popcorn
shrimp. Oh, it's the Buc-ee's nuggets that are popcorn.
The nuggets. Gotcha. Okay.
Or they also are listed as Buc-ee's Nuggies, but I see Buc-ee's Bites as Nuggets. So I don't. Maybe they've rebranded as Nuggies.
Could be one and the same. Unclear. Well, we'll figure it out. But I'm sure they don't travel well. I imagine no matter what it is, it's a fried product. I don't want it being transported from the Nashville area here out west. Probably wouldn't carry very well. So anyway, how we start? Oh, because of the hats. And you're just wearing... So that's really a UA hat? It looks like REI-ish.
Yeah, it's got a little...
It doesn't look sporty at all.
Under Armour logo here.
Okay, nice.
Just imagine...
Good stuff.
...podcast listeners that I'm pointing to a badge on the front.
A badge or a badge?
I said badge with a B.
Okay.
There's this, you know, doesn't Spanish, have a vagina emblem on the front of the hat.
A badge on the top of my head.
I had to, I was listening to Raina Maria at the Fireside video on YouTube.
Nice.
A walloping show, but I had to pause it because it was fucking with our video stream. We're getting a little across. I mean, podcast listeners won't hear that, but you were glitching on me, so I paused it.
I guess I should applaud that sacrifice, Todd. You paused the YouTube video you're watching while actively...
I'm not watching. I'm listening to it. It's background music to our conversation.
A necessity. Todd, I actually have a topic tonight.
Oh, shit.
And I'm hopeful that, like last week, when somehow you said you got a cord of wood, and then 52 minutes later, after discussing cord or wood chopping, gay porn, and a number of other things... We finally concluded that conversation. I'm hoping that this week we have a similar outcome.
When I pulled up my browser, I never close any of my tabs. There's still wood stuff on there, and I started watching wood chat before we started talking.
All right, we're going to try and not do Wood Chat today.
We don't have plenty
of that last week.
Well, can I give a quick update?
I was going to say, if we talked so much about it. Yes, I'd love to have an update on how dry your wood is, how much you put in the oven, if you figured out what 100 degrees Celsius equates to on your oven.
I haven't put any in the physical oven.
Fucking
so the,
very good.
My wife left a bad review of the place, and miraculously, first the guy, like,
hang on, like, we might have new listeners. The place that delivered wet wood.
Yes,
wet
I ordered a quart of wood, and it looked like it had been stored in a dirty lake.
Yeah.
I told the guy, like, hey, this shit is fucking, like, dripping.
Is that what you said?
He's like, well, shit is fucking, you know, if you stack it and cover it, you should be fine. And I was like, okay. And then we left him a bad review. And amazingly, he wrote me back. He's like, I'm sorry about the mix-up. We'll come and swap it out. And I was like,
what?
I mean, it's all stacked. Like, and then he's like, I was like, do you want me to just, like, put it in the driveway? And he's like, where is it now? I was like, it's stacked in my backyard. He's like, well, I don't want you to move it twice. And I was like, okay. So then he's like, I'll come on whatever day it was. Tuesday, we'll say, for conversation. Tuesday of this week.
Yes.
And he didn't say what time. It got to be like, I assumed it was going to be in the morning. No, nothing. Afternoon.
Midday,
I was like, hey, are you coming today? And he's like, yeah, I'll be there at 4:30. I was like, okay. But he brought, I actually had to go pick up one of my daughters. I was doing something. And my wife was here, or she met him outside for whatever reason. He's like, I brought, excuse me, a quarter cord of wood in this bag that's dry. This is how we store all of our wood. And I was like, I'm not sure that's true.
Liar. Yeah.
Because the other stuff, well, actually, I know people do, it's like a, it looks like a giant nylon kind of tote bag. Nylon being like the woven nylon, like you might get.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
reusable,
about.
Reusable shopping bag. Not like a nylon stocking, but
no, I know what you mean.
Which would be pretty useless for wood. Anyway, so he offloaded
so
that
he came
from
over
his truck
in his
apparently
teddy.
With a forklift.
Yes, okay.
And he's like, this is a quarter. He's like, burn. By the time you get through this, the other wood should be dry. And my wife's like, well, do we owe you money for this? He's like, you know, burn this. If the other wood's not dry, call me back and we'll work something out. I want to make sure that you're satisfied with the product or something. I was like, oh, shocking. It seems a little drier, not a ton. But it's in a bag that's like open from the top. So I'm like, this is a terrible way to store wood because the whole fucking point is you have to cover the top of it and leave the sides open so it can breathe based on all my Wood Chat videos that I've watched. So
many of which there
I'm
are
not
many.
Sure this is the best system, my dude. So now I have to find a place to put that because it's supposed to snow and or rain this weekend. And again, it's a giant bag that I can't move by myself because I don't have a forklift. That has just been set in my yard.
So it's almost like one of those things that you can buy. I understood what you meant with a nylon bag, but one of those things that you can buy to throw refuse in.
Yeah, if you buy like a portable dumpster and they pick it up with something or whatever.
Probably not that big, but I see what you're saying. A quarter.
I would say it's probably like 3 feet by 3 feet by 5 feet tall or something-ish.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah, you can't move that at all.
You can't. Move. I mean, you can definitely pull. I've pulled wood out. It seems to be burning. It's not like bone dry. I think again, you want to be under. You want to be between
obviously
15 and 20%. Ideally below 15. I'd say this is more on the 20%. So it's a little drier than the other wood, but it's not like amazing.
So, hang on a second. I'm shocked that your wife offered. To pay
him.
Like he was clearly making reparations for fucking wood.
Yeah,
I'd be like thanks, peace out.
He's like, if you burn it and it all burns fine, you can call me up and you can pay me for this later. And I'm like, yeah, we're not fucking paying you for this, dude. We are never
anybody.
Talking again.
I'm not paying anything. Yeah, obviously not. Interesting. So I'm gonna try and
stack it in the garage somewhere.
Okay, that was my next question is, can you not, especially in anticipation of the storms coming this weekend, it might take you 30 minutes, but could you not stack it somewhere safe on your existing pile or?
I don't really have any, I sent you photos. I don't really have room on my existing wood stacks for more wood.
True. How?
They full up.
I can't think of the term. How protected, I guess, is your patio under your deck from rain or snow, if that's what's
I mean, adjacent to the house, it's very protected, but I don't really want to stack wood right next to the wood siding of the house, just because if there's bugs or critters in there, I don't really want that against my house.
And you'll certainly have both where you live. That's for sure.
I mean, we've been burning probably foxes. 6 to 8 logs a night, so I think we can get through that stuff.
That's your other option.
I think I'll just put it in the garage, because that'll also dry it out a little bit.
On the weekend, just burn it from 8 a.m. to midnight. Like, just have it going constantly.
I mean, I don't want to wait. We did pay for it. I mean, minus this quarter cord. I don't want to just like burn shit for the fun of it.
No, because you want to avoid the creosote. Never mind. I was going to say, like, why not mix and match? Like, do one dry log from the quarter.
Well, I have been starting. We bought a few more bundles of Lowe's wood, as I was calling it, which is.
Jesus Christ. How much fucking wood do you guys need? You're buying more wood?
That stuff actually, that stuff is like 5 or 8%. So when you light that stuff, it just it goes up like a Roman candle.
But hang on. You bought this when you already knew he was bringing you a quarter cord of dry wood?
Well, no, I bought that before, because if you get the fire started, it'll burn the wet wood. It just, like I said, releases the creosote and fucks up your chimney. So I don't want to do that. But I also didn't want to buy more wood. But I use a couple pieces of that to start, because it gets the fire going, and then.
Gotcha.
I think some of the stuff he gave us originally has dried out to the point where it will burn, because I was burning some of it tonight. It seemed okay. It's not ideal. It's not. Again, I would prefer it to be around 10 or 12%, and it's definitely like closer to 20. But for all my wood chat friends out there, moisture buds.
For all you wood nerds.
That's what's happened. We gave him a bad review, and he didn't ask my wife to take it down. I think he assumed we would if he made it right, but I don't know.
Review down. Interesting.
Yeah. It's just a Google review that said, like.
He doesn't know your wife.
Yeah.
This shit happened. It's staying up there. Unless he gave you a free cord, like an entire cord.
Yeah.
Which, of course, would be at a huge loss for him. I don't think she would take it.
It was a cord was $375. It's not cheap. It's not like
I was thinking. It was a little more than that. Yeah, that's
not like
bad
$1 million. Hopefully $400 doesn't make or break his like enterprise. If it does, he's got bigger problems.
Well, and it's $100. He gave you the quarter cord.
Yeah.
Because your check still cleared, I assume, when the 37 or the 350, whatever it was.
I mean, it was a Zelle transaction, but yes.
Oh, look at you!
My wife had to do it. I don't know.
I was about to say something that I know you don't know how to do.
I know how to do it. I just don't have access to that.
Do you? I'm not sure you do. Because we needed to do that just a few weeks ago, and yes, your wife had to send me the money, not you. But anyway, okay. Any other wood hashtag wood chat updates?
All.
Okay,
just that I need to get it out of the bag.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike goes skiing this weekend. And Pencil Tweedy.
Really?
Yes.
Where?
There are two resorts, Liberty and Round Top, that are like an hour away from us.
Okay.
And one of our, I think I told you my daughter's in Snow Club. They go skiing every Thursday. And one of our family friends.
Wait. They go skiing every Thursday? They went today?
No, starting next week they go every Thursday. They have night skiing, obviously. They go after school from like whatever 4
Six
until
to eight or
10 or
oh.
something.
Oh wow.
I think it closes at 9, but they get back around 10 or 10:30.
Sure.
But you pack your stuff, you drop it off when you get to school, and then you get on the bus after school, go skiing. And then,
that's crazy.
Come home. But, one of the families who are good skiers are like, hey, you guys want to go up to the mountain this weekend? So we may be going on Sunday, depending on
just for the day
snow conditions. Yeah. It's like I said, it's an hour away. It's not terrible.
I understand.
I mean, the mountains sucks, I assume, but it's like vertical 1,000 feet. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Ooh, three lifts.
No, they have like
six runs.
Or six.
Oh, wow. Well, but I'm sure two of them you won't be using at all. It'll be like bunny lifts or whatever. But,
well, I probably will because I'll be going with my daughter who has never really skied before, so I'll probably only be on those.
That was my next question. Have either of your daughters ever skied? Ever?
My older daughter has, but like as a older toddler, like age 4 or 5. So it's been a while.
And that was West Coast.
Yeah.
Like Mount Bachelor or something. Or whatever.
Yeah, like Mount Hood.
Mount Hood. Okay.
Why East?
Why East?
That's the Native American name for it, I think.
Oh. Hello. I don't know.
Hello.
I was going to do some sort of Native American greeting, and I didn't know how. I don't know. Is Hal racist? Oh, boy. You have a visitor. Is that a cat, or is that a human?
It's a human. She brought me a cookie for some reason. My older daughter.
Nice.
Heath Bar Crunch.
Oh, Heath Bar Crunch. Just random cookie drop off.
I don't know. She must have. I think there were two left, and she grabbed one and just gave me the other one.
Because she knew you'd be pissed if you didn't get a piece.
No, I would have been fine not eating it. But since
so, have you ever been to any of these resorts? Todd, let me while you chew. Pro tip as a semi-professional podcaster. As I'm asking a question and I complete it, don't then take a bite of your cookie. Wait 9 seconds, answer the question, and then wait for me to jibber jabber again. You fucking moron. I literally finished the question, and then you went,
I took the bite as you were asking. I thought it was going to be a longer question. No. I have not been to any of the Pennsylvania slopes.
Is one of the purposes for you doing this to prepare yourself and remember how to ski since it's been a number of years?
No. I mean, I'm not too worried about it. It's more to help my daughter get comfortable.
Your daughter's experience.
My wife's like, we're going to have her put on the skis in the backyard. She doesn't know how to put on skis. I was like, she can figure it out. You literally just like step into them. It's not like rocket science.
That was my third question. Have you purchased her equipment, skis, poles?
Not clothing, so we rented them from a place you can rent like for the season.
Okay. That's cool.
Not purchasing yet since she's never really been skiing.
And what about clothing? Does she just kind of have that like to play in the snow sort of a thing?
She, we bought her a ski jacket for Christmas and her father bought her some gloves, we bought her a helmet. She won goggles or my wife won goggles at a meeting for the ski club.
Nice. She's just going pantless, like when
she has. She has snow pants.
She has snow pants. Okay. Socks and everything else. Yeah. Okay.
Bought socks.
Well, that should be fun. Hopefully, she doesn't have experience that I remember some of our early skiing experiences for myself, where it was fucking 20 degrees and sleeting, and icy, and cloudy, and I was just miserable and cold. Hopefully, the weather pans out this weekend and there's some fresh pow.
I mean, I don't think that'll happen.
You
I'm
said
not
it's gonna
too
snow.
Worried about it being too super duper cold, but I'm also going to have her layer the shit out of her clothing because she does tend to run cold.
Just like her uncle. All right. Well, that should be fun. That's exciting. Starting off early. What about the younger daughter? Does she have any interest? I know it's a different school, so she can't be part of the
I think she would be interested. She has a play date on Sunday, which is when we're planning on going, so she will not be attending this time. And we have not rented her or purchased any. Like she doesn't have a helmet. My older daughter does.
She doesn't have any gear. Yeah. That's good. Start one.
I mean, it's kind of, I feel like now you have to have a helmet. You don't have to, but like, it's funny, we grew up skiing, there was not a single fucking person on the mountain that had a helmet on.
I was 36 before I wore a helmet. I didn't wear a helmet for a very, very long time.
Now I would say like 99% of the people on the mountain have helmets.
95 plus for sure. Yeah, it's 95 plus. Actually, I skied a couple weeks ago. This is early December, so maybe almost a month ago now. I went up to Keystone with some industry friends, and one of the guys
this
had a friend.
This is your working industry, not ski industry friends.
Correct. One of the guys that was out there has a friend who lives in Boulder, and he came up and met us and skied as well. Well, he was a boarder, but and he actually was just wearing a stocking cap.
Oh,
and it was
nice.
It was surprising, especially for a boarder. I mean,
I feel like there's a lot more head whiplash on a boarder.
A lot more, potential, you know, threat of concussion protocol situation there. I mean, if you're an amateur skier, I guess it's the likelihood is equally as high. But I was kind of surprised to see that. But he was a bro, so and he lived out here. And I think the whiplash
onto your head from a board is more likely to smack your head into the ground than skiing. Definitely can happen with skiing, but your falls are more like are usually on your butt or your side, especially when you're starting out. Versus like if you catch that heel edge and just slam your head back into the snow.
Or vice versa. If you're snowboarding and then your board turns sideways, you just go ba-dum, straight forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean, that fulcrum from your feet, just smacking your face into the snow.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Whereas skis, like, that certainly could happen, but it's a little harder.
There's more flexibility, more likelihood for, landing on all sorts of other things. So, okay, I assume this resort is not on the Epic Pass.
No, actually it is.
It is? Oh, perfect.
Both of them are. So I'll have to use a...
One of your five
buddy
free
pass
days
or whatever. What's that?
A buddy pass for. I'm saying you would have five free days outside of. I mean, assuming you got the Tahoe pass.
I don't think I have five free days.
Do you not?
I looked at it
with the Tahoe pass. You might be right. It might be that I have five free days at resorts out here, and then unlimited at Heavenly and Kirkwood. But
I didn't see any free days.
Oh, okay.
But you did get the Tahoe Value tickets.
Do you have the Tahoe Local or the Tahoe Value? There's two
different. I have the Tahoe Value.
Oh, okay.
Do you have the Local?
I think I do. It's a little pricier, but again, it gives me skiing days out here, which obviously I try to get a couple days up here. Here being...
Yeah, I wasn't planning on skiing anywhere else, so.
No, I know. No, it's fine. But yeah, it will definitely be cheaper than if you're just John Q.
Yeah,
citizen.
It's not a lot cheaper. It's like $10 cheaper.
Well, a little bit. By the way, speaking of lift ticket prices, I read an article that over a Christmas week, there were several resorts, including Vail and Beaver Creek, that a just day pass was... $299.
It's fucking insane.
I don't get it. Everyone that I know who comes out here to ski or is talking about coming out here and skiing, I'm like, the first thing you do is buy an Epic Pass. If you do it any other way, you're going to lose thousands, especially if you have a family. You're going to spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars more than you need to. They force you into it. The article is actually about the competition between the Epic Pass and the Icon Pass, which between the two, they have most of the mountains covered, most of the major mountains anyway. But as kind of a side note, it just talked about the $299. I was like, $299? Good Lord. I remember thinking $100, $125
does seem like if you're skiing more than one day, or even if you are, I mean, if it's $299, if you are skiing one day, then you might as well get, so my daughter's snow club, they said you could get an Epic Pass or you can, through Epic, you can buy like 6 days.
Yeah.
Which is what she did, which is like $180 or something.
That's a good deal.
I mean, it was a kid price too, so.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird how monopolized all the ski resorts are.
It's amazing.
Like you said, it's either Epic or Icon Pass and basically depends on where you're skiing.
Yeah. Yeah, the only other thing that I even considered is early season, like in October, A Basin, which is no longer on Epic or Icon, promoted like a, you could get like a 4-pack or a 5-pack of just day passes for like 180, which I really like A Basin. I was kind of pissed off when they went off Epic. And I was like, man, I might get that. But then I was like, I don't know, with a kid, I don't see myself going there 4 or 5 times because it would be by myself. So I didn't get it.
Is Alta connected to anything? I feel like they've always been pretty independent.
Independent. A couple of those Utah places are definitely on their own. I don't know if Alta's one of them. I don't know if Solitude's one of them. I don't know. I just never think about the Utah resorts. So I'm not sure which ones are connected and which ones are not. I know some are to Epic. I assume some are to Icon, but I just don't know which is which.
Alta is still skiers only. That's crazy.
That is nuts.
I mean,
good for them. There's enough to go around.
But, yeah, it looks like they're maybe independent.
Yeah, again, Epic and Icon don't have all of them, but they just have,
they have
a
the
large
majority.
Portion of the majority, yeah,
oh,
of the big name ones.
Alta is on Icon. Or it can be.
It can
Alta
be.
And Snowbird, interesting. Well, I mean, you can buy them independently, but your Icon Pass provides direct-to-lift skiing at Alta and Snowbird.
Nice. Good spots, both of them.
Yeah. If I lived in Utah, I'd probably have an Icon Pass. I assume Park City is probably on Epic, but...
They are on Epic. Or at least last I checked.
It sounds like if you're going into Little Cottonwood Canyon, you want to be on the Icon.
You want to be on the Icon. That's right. On the Icon.
What was the other place? Solitude.
Solitude, Alta.
There's another
Park
one
City.
Up there.
Something with a B? Brighton?
Brighton. No, Brighton. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, Brighton.
Yes, Brighton.
Nailed it. Yeah. Not the most popular of the three, but still a place to ski.
Deer Valley and Snow Valley. Or well,
yeah, Mountain, they have like Powderhorn or something. Yeah, they have like super exclusive ones where it's like a golf club. You basically have to pay $5,000 a year to have a membership. I can't remember which one that is. That's not in the greater Salt Lake area. It's a little further out, but. Yeah, I got a, again, industry. I have another industry buddy who has a cabin up that way. And he always told me, he's like, you know, we just do Airbnb during the season. But he's like, if you want to come up for a weekend, you and your wife, this is before we had a kid. But he's like, just let me know. He's like, you can stay there. I won't charge you. It's like, sweet. Never took him up on it. Should have. Too late now.
Solitude anyway. Is also part of Icon.
There you go. Oh, there you go. Todd, first topic of the night. You ready?
Yes. Enough preamble.
After woodchat, ski talk, and everything else that we talked about. I thought of this last night as I was brushing my teeth because in my, whatever you call it, cabinet where I keep toiletry stuff in the bathroom, we actually have the mirror that pulls out.
Oh, medicine cabinet.
Medicine cabinet. Thank you. I knew it had a name. I have a brush...
A dirty Band-Aid? Sorry, go ahead.
I do not have a dirty Band-Aid, but I have a brush that may be older than I am.
Hmm. I can picture
You'll recognize this brush.
I can picture it.
It has
oval
a certain
head,
superhero.
Short brushes. Oh, not what I was picturing.
No, I know what you're thinking of. Not that one. No. It is a 1960s, 70s Adam West Batman brush, blue, very worn. Definitely doesn't look like what you'd expect. If you're doing what I think you're doing, I actually did it a couple of years ago. I looked it up a few years ago because I was like, this might be worth some fucking money. This thing's super old. It's not in great shape. But
shocking. Oh, I know what you're talking about. It looks like it's $30, but that's for new in box. You can also get one for $5 or $10, okay. Sorry.
Well, that's a shame. It should be worth more. I will say, and I feel like I'm jinxing myself, it is shocking to me that over decades of its existence, I have not chipped it or just knock the handle off completely. It is in perfectly working order.
It says here that it's from Avon, so that's probably why it's easy to get, because I think they probably made like a billion of them.
The reproduction? Yeah, fair enough. My question for you, what is the oldest thing that you own that you actually use? But it can't be like older than you. Like, don't say, well, I have this 100-year-old record player. Like, that's not what I mean. I mean, what is something that has been with you, has traveled from East Coast to West Coast and back now, that you use, you don't have to use it daily, but you still use to this day?
Wait, like, again, use that brush. Hairbrush?
I do. I use it a couple times a week. I don't always use it because I have a comb as well, but I do use the hairbrush. It feels great on my beard. And I have a beard brush too, but yeah, it still gets used and it works perfectly fine.
The oldest thing that I have and use? I don't know. I don't use a lot of old shit that I can remember.
Looking around his office. And that's fine. Modern society, commercialism, you might not have anything that's more than 15 minutes old. I don't know.
I mean, I have a bunch of old t-shirts that mostly are sitting in my drawer just for sentimental reasons I don't ever actually wear.
It's funny. When I thought of this as a topic to discuss on the pod, that's the first thing that came to mind, is I have some old fucking t-shirts. I have t-shirts I had in middle school that I have hanging in my closet right now. I've been in middle school in 35 years.
I do have some Muscle Men in my office. I believe we've talked about this before, and Transformers. Use them. They're just sitting
there. Yeah, that doesn't really count. Like, yeah, I have some basketball cards from the 70s. Okay.
I mean, I have records from the 50s and 60s in my room, but
again, which is why I tried to specify.
I use more, I would say.
More than the Muscle Men.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
They get played.
Unless you're actively playing with the Muscle Men.
I'm not.
Top rope. So t-shirt, again, clothing was something that I had considered.
I have some of our grandfather's tools. I don't use them that much, but they're in the garage. In the garage.
Okay. That was almost tools. What do you call it when someone who passes on gives you something?
An heirloom.
Not inheritance. Heirloom. There you go.
Stuff from our maternal grandfather's stuff. Like, I have some art supplies or drafting supplies from him too. Again, not stuff that I use all the time, but it's around and I have it if needed.
Interesting. I just wonder if, I mean, you hear this all the time.
I did use it in college when I did more straight up drafting.
Right. Right. You hear this all the time, specifically on shows like American Pickers and other things, where it's like, oh, things aren't made, you know, like toys. The 10 toys aren't, they'll never make those again, or, you know, anything with rivets. And, like, things just aren't made the way they were 100 years ago. But I wonder if 50 or 100 years from now, anyone having this conversation will be like, no, I don't have anything that's old. Again, unless it's just something
There'll still be stuff that's old, like there are things that were popular. Like if you go on eBay, my friend Kurt has an antiques booth. He mostly sells records, but they also sell stuff that he finds at the bins, and he sells a bunch of stuff on eBay. But like t-shirts and hats from the 90s can be worth, like, I had a GoldenEye hat that I got as a giveaway when the 007 GoldenEye movie came out. I don't know where it is. I had it for years, but they sell for like $200 on eBay for some reason. I have no idea why.
That wasn't a snapback. What was the adjustment process?
It was a snapback, I'm pretty sure.
Was it?
It might have had a buckle. I don't remember.
I think it had a buckle. I feel like that was one of the earliest buckle examples of that. I remember that hat for sure.
Like, gray, so I'm looking at it like there's one listed for $60, but I feel like I've seen it sell for, and I got it for free. Like, they were just giving it away in the student union.
Did you have to sign up for a credit card or anything?
I don't think so. I wouldn't, because I wouldn't have gotten it.
Because
this one's for sale for $72.95, and it has 27 watchers, so people are definitely interested in it. But it is a snapback. It says 007 embroidered on the back. I mean, it looks fine. I know Ricky with Kurt, we were talking, and there was like a t-shirt that he got as, like, there's a lot of like promo shirts that have like famous now bands like Nirvana, or like they played some larger, not like not Lollapalooza, but some like a festival or something from the 90s. Yeah. Like those shirts can be like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Cause the, so my point being, just shit that's like a few generations old will always be in demand because people are like, oh, I like this stuff that's like a little bit old. It's cool now. Vintage, like that kind of thing.
I suppose
that stuff will always be around. But as far as like the build quality, I mean, I feel like it's always going down, but a lot of this shit that's been made plastic in our lives may never like go away just because, not because of the build quality, just because of the material.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. And again, I thought of this last night, but then this morning I saw a Facebook post. Someone, I wouldn't even call her a friend of mine, but someone who worked at WSBF, probably around your age. So you may even know her, but she posted that she has like a teenage son. And she said her teenage son was going to school. I forget the shirt that she described him wearing, but she said he was wearing JNCO jeans. I was like,
yeah, JNCOs are back, I think.
That's impressive. But she said they were hers. Like, they were her pants that she had kept from when she was a teenager at a time when that was actually popular. Now it's come, again, full circle back around, and people are wearing them again. So jeans, obviously, a different situation because denim lasts forever, hundreds of years if you keep track of it. Take good care of it.
Yeah.
It can last a long time. So, okay.
But yeah, right now, like vintage band shirts, like I'm looking at eBay, there's a Superchunk shirt from the 90s that's listed for $136. Like I had a Seaweed shirt that I saw someone was selling for like $200, but I don't know where it is. So I was like, I know I had that shirt because I got it as a promo for the Spanaway album, but I don't know what happened to it.
Good old Seaweed. Speaking of American Pickers, I'm sure you saw it just a couple seasons ago. There was an episode where I think it was Mike and
I did not see it if it was a couple seasons ago, but continue. Okay.
Mike and what's her name? The chick.
Danny.
The broad. Danny. We're at this guy's, a very eccentric guy, had hundreds of vintage band t-shirts, and they were paying $300-$400 per shirt. And the thing that, like, I get it, because they were mostly tour t-shirts, you know, like the Clash 1978 tour or whatever had the dates on the back, and they were paying hundreds of dollars for stuff like that. I get it, because it was very, they're now classic bands. At the time, in a lot of instances, they weren't.
Yeah.
And so very low circulation. But the thing that shocks me, and I'm sure you've seen it because you're just talking about looking on eBay at things, is the quality is not great. Yeah, understandably so. It's a 45-year-old, 50-year-old shirt, but still they're paying this
and they
top
were,
dollar.
They were like a lot of
they
them
were worn.
Again, promos or like giveaways.
Yeah.
Or they've
exactly.
just been sweat in for 25 years.
Yeah, pit stains.
But some of that like that wear and that vintage look is part of it.
But like my thought is, just using the American Pickers examples specifically, are they selling it to people who are going to frame it and put it on the wall? Or are you selling it for $400 or $500 to someone who's going to wear it?
I don't know. I mean, I think if you're rich enough, you just buy shit. You're like, oh, I'll get this Ramones shirt and pay $400 for it and just wear it because it's cool looking. Other people, I mean, if I were going to pay that much money, I would definitely like frame it or something. I wouldn't do that for a t-shirt because it doesn't do it for me, but... You know, people collect everything. If you collect vintage band t-shirts, it's as exciting as a poster, I guess. Like, if that's your thing, you know what I mean?
But no one wears a poster.
True.
Like, if I found
I mean, there's lots of things you can display
No, I understand. I understand. But that's my thing. Stuff. Like, if I'm going to put a, you know, Bad Religion 1981 tour poster behind glass up on my wall, that's one thing. If I'm going to put a Bad Religion 1981 tour shirt that some guy wore 40 times and has rips in it, I don't see myself putting that behind glass and putting it up my wall.
Yeah, I'd rather have a dead stock shirt if I were going to frame it, but that might not be available.
Right. Probably not. Old, new. Yeah, probably not going to find that. That's a good point. But anyway. All right. What else you got? What's on your mind? How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions, even though we talked about how we don't have New Year's resolutions on the show?
Great. I'm doing amazing with my New Year's resolutions.
You're doing amazing with the nothing resolution that you had?
Yeah.
Have you changed anything, even though we both discussed that we don't believe in them? Is anything different? Have you exercised the past 4 days?
Have I changed anything? I didn't go to soccer this week, but I did go last
New Year's resolution.
Week. No, but that is...
Fuck this team.
Some of my exercise.
Did you have a conflict? Or you just didn't feel like going?
So my younger daughter has really late basketball practice. It's 7:30 to 8:30, which just seems late for
That's
a nine-year-old.
Super late for her, yeah.
And I took her, so like soccer starts at 9, and I had laid out my clothes, but by the time I got home, it was like 8:45, and I was like, fuck it. They get pissy if you're late too, so I was like, I'm not going to go. And it was cold as shit. Like, I have a rule, or I've sort of made myself a rule that I won't play if it's below 30, and it was like 32 degrees.
Right on the cusp.
Yeah.
But you still wear shorts, or do you wear?
I wear
like
shorts,
tights?
But you got to wear gloves. Like your hands get cold. The first
Definitely
time I played when this winter when it was cold, I didn't wear gloves, and I feel like I didn't get frostbite, but it kind of feels like I got
nerve
frostbite.
Damage.
Like there's like
you could have damaged your nerves.
There's like
I've done that before.
Part of my finger feels dead.
You probably have nerve damage. It'll come back, but it'll take a while. I get that every winter. On one run, I'll wear the wrong kind of gloves.
So I wear gloves, and that made a huge difference. It was funny last time I played, obviously not this week, but 2 weeks ago, it was like 40 degrees, and it felt like it was more humid, too. It felt like a million degrees warmer than it was the week before when it was like cold and dry. Like, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. The 10 degrees or 8 degree difference was massive.
See, that's interesting to hear you say that, because Jamie and I still talk about, I guess the last time we were in Portland, probably over Thanksgiving, we went for a hike at this place where you walk behind a waterfall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You probably know what I'm talking about. You might not remember this exact day, but we went to that spot, and it was probably 38, I would guess. But it's Portland, so it was like 99% humidity. And we were fucking freezing the whole time. So it's interesting to hear you say – basically similar situation, you felt warmer. Because like out here, it could be 20 degrees, 8% humidity, and it feels fine. I mean, it's cold, sure, but like it's not as chilly. But if it's 20 and 50% or 70% humidity, which almost never happens unless it's actively raining or snowing.
Yeah. Portland
that's
is
just
not
much colder.
Usually that humid, actually. But
it was that day. It was actively
raining. I think
raining.
The first
like, was
week
drizzling.
Was probably like 33 and relatively low humidity, and the next week was like 40 something. I think it was more the temperature than the humidity.
Gotcha.
It just the air felt a little thicker than
sure. So the ball traveled slower. That's why you didn't score.
I mean,
blaming the weather.
I mostly play defense. So
I was about to say you didn't score because you played defense. That's the real reason. Have you gotten better? Like, do you feel that you've gotten better playing? Because you've been playing for a while now, right?
Have I gotten better?
Group?
Yes.
I feel like you said early on, we used to talk about your soccer exploits at this little men's pickup league, that you were not one of the better players.
I'm still probably in the lower half for sure.
Okay. Well, I don't expect you to like move up the ranks.
I mean, some of those guys are just like, I think they were better players to begin with, and they've been
sure. They're in, natural talent.
Honestly, I think it's mostly they're just in better shape than I am. Like some things that I just can't keep up fitness-wise. I might have told you this, but there's this one guy who's pretty good, and or maybe I was telling my wife about it. And I tend to play defense on a lot of the better players, which is a good like workout for me. But like,
sure,
there was one time he's probably 80 to 100 pounds lighter than me, and he had the ball, and like I defended him well the first time, but then he got it back, or he passed it off. Like I was sort of running with him for a while, and then he passed it away, and then he made a run to get the ball back, and I was like, I can't run. Like I needed to catch my breath. So he went and scored, but I just couldn't keep up with him anymore. Cause
yeah, you go ahead.
Run longer than I could.
Sure.
So stuff like that, like it's not really a skill thing. It's just like fitness level.
Yeah. And he may be young. I don't know how old the guy is, but
I don't know either. It's hard to tell. Like some people at this age now, it's like they could be 36 or 36, 52 yeah. and in great shape. I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
For me, I'm not good at like judging. Like they don't look particularly old to me, but some people that do look old are my age, so I'm like, "Oh shit, maybe they are younger or maybe
yeah." No, that's
like,
true.
The last time we played, this one guy who I would guess is probably in his early 40s brought his like son who I think is probably like 13. So, he could be 43 and his son's 13. Like that's a reasonable age difference, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I talk about that a lot with, I guess with Jamie. I have several friends from either growing up or from high school or Clemson or whatever. Like one friend comes to mind, his daughter just graduated from Boston College and I have a fucking 2-year-old. Like it kind of blows my mind. I mean, he started pretty early,
yeah,
obviously, but, and it's his only daughter. So it was kind of an accident, but she's doing great. Congratulations, Bella. But yeah, it's just wacky to me. Like we were in middle school together. We went to high school together. We went to Clemson together. And like, he's done now. He gets to enjoy his life. And I'm just starting this slog of a journey of parenthood.
You get to enjoy this too. Just at a different age with more money.
When does that happen? Yeah, definitely with more money, but
I don't know. It depends on what you make of it, Scott. You can enjoy it or not.
Still working on that. Speaking of kids, and you say your younger daughter is playing basketball now. Does she have the skills of her father, where she's just getting rebounds? Like, is her stat line like 0 points, 9 rebounds?
She is
6 turnovers, no assists.
Terrible at basketball. Okay. It's hard because like she's pretty good at soccer, but like basketball is just, it's funny because there's like a couple girls that are like, they're not super strict on the double dribble or like.
Of course, at that age.
So,
yeah, yeah.
Like I was telling her, I was like, just dribble, pick up the ball, run with it and dribble some more. I was like, everybody else is doing it. She's like, no, I'm not allowed to do that. I was like, yeah, but you're getting burned by people who do that. So just do it anyway. Like, I know that's not what you're supposed to be learning.
They're
but,
stiff-arming you, like, holding the ball like it's a football running past.
But there's just some things that, like, aren't clicking. Like, some kids have, like, either through training, and it's hard to tell, like, are these kids' parents playing basketball and, like, teaching them things more, or they just naturally pick it up? Like, my daughter will always throw a pass high and try and throw it over the top rather than use a bounce pass, even though I tell her, like, hey, bounce pass it. It's way more likely to get to that person. She doesn't understand, like, the spatial relationships. Like, she'll stand on the far side of the court and basically ask for a skip pass. I'm like, you need to come closer. They can't throw it that far.
Right.
I mean, it's mostly, like, two girls on her team that sort of hog the ball, dribble, and can make a shot and shoot. And most of the girls that play, like, they just like running back and forth when they're getting back on defense. Like, that's definitely what my daughter is into.
They run back to a spot and they're like, I'm here. Now I'm ready to play defense.
Well, they play like man-on-man defense, and she's also always face guarding the person. I'm like, you need to stand between the player and the basket because you don't know what they're doing if they're behind you. She's like, but I can't get the ball that way. It's like, you need to stand between them and the basket. And if you see the ball's coming to them, you can run around them to get it. But like,
wait, so she's like in the post, like face playing in front of the offensive player?
Yeah, she's trying to shuffle side to side to like make sure they don't get it. I'm like, this is a fool's errand. You're never going to be able to play defense well like this unless you're like an elite lateral movement defender, which you currently are not.
I need to see a video of this. When are the games? So practice is every Thursday. When are games?
Games are on Saturdays.
Have they started yet?
Yeah. But again, like at this age, because
it's still
some of the girls have never played before. It's if you have one or two good players, you can get 20 points or 4 points for the whole game, and like it can really swing just based on who's in attendance. I mean, my daughter has made some baskets, which is great. Like, she's super excited
about it.
And I'm encouraging her. You know, she's having fun, so that's all that matters. But
sure,
it's just like
till next year.
She also has a tendency to get frustrated. Like, oh, I'm not doing this right. I'm like, you're doing fine. Just try and do these things, and it'll help you get better. Like, she wants to go all or nothing. Like, I'm great or I'm terrible. And I'm like, that's not how it works. I was like, everybody needs to get better at some things. You need to try and do these couple things, and then that'll help you play better. But she gets frustrated easily.
You guys have a hoop still in the driveway.
Yes.
Do you ever go out and shoot? Does she ever go out and shoot, I should say?
No.
With your assistance? No. Okay. That'd be my first.
My older daughter was more interested in shooting, but there's not a lot of free time in life. I don't know about you, but like.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, between when they get home from school, I'm usually trying to, you know, put in a solid day's worth of work. So it's not like I can shoot baskets for an hour at 4 o'clock. And then it's dark and cold outside, or we're eating dinner. And if they have any homework, there's not a lot of time to do this. Like, there's a few hours on the weekend we could, but.
I mean, when I think back to what got me to the upper echelon of basketball that I achieved.
Sure. Yes, I remember those times.
It was summertime. Like, because even in South Carolina, when it's cold, it's hard to shoot. Like, when your hands are cold, it's hard to effectively practice. Now, I did, as you remember, I assume you'll agree, like, I played basketball a lot, either in our driveway or certainly when I got to high school, and you wouldn't remember this because you were off of college. But
I'll take your word for it. I don't remember
this. We played at St. Mike's all the time. But, no, I'm getting to the point, though,
on
where
carpet.
You would remember. There were those summers for a couple years there where we played every fucking day
out
at Polo.
For sure.
Just doing open run, and then we go to Taco Bell and get a soda afterwards. The good old days. But like
crazy. I'm like, how do we play outside in South Carolina and not die?
No idea.
Also, no one had a water bottle. O'clock. I don't remember ever having water
in those things. No, and we went to Taco Bell and got Mountain Dew. Like, I mean, you didn't. But like, we were drinking soda. We wouldn't go to Taco Bell. Or we'd go to the slushy place. Like the frozen ice place or whatever.
I remember now.
Yeah, no. 100. I've talked about that with many people. No water bottle. There may have been a hose at the church that we went to a couple of times.
I feel like if you went to a camp, like a sports camp, you would take a thermos with you because they were always like, you got to drink water. But certainly
I don't think so.
Much less frequently than. So the thing you're bringing up is a good point. I think a lot of that development comes in like middle school or slightly older where you're like, take on yourself that like, I want to be better at this, so I'm going to work at it. At elementary school, like, there are some kids that are good, and that's the kind of thing, the shitty thing about youth sports is, like, the good kids get put on, like, the travel teams or whatever, and then there's, like, no way to catch up.
They leave the shitty
because
players.
They get more instruction, they get more coaching, they get better, and then the kids that are playing rec are just, like, they're just volunteer dads or moms that are coaching them and don't know what they're doing.
I'm glad you said that. That's the whole reason I brought this topic back up. How many seasons until you're on the sidelines, shirt and tie, yelling at kids, calling out plays? That was always the dream for me. And actually, Brian Riedveld and I in college at Clemson talked about going to a local like youth league and offering like we'll be coaches and going all in, full suits every game. Like really part of the scene.
I appreciate the comedy element of that, but you would fucking 100% go insane coaching little
no,
kids.
No, no, no. Because... to be fair, we would coach, first of all, we'd coach boys, and we'd probably coach more like late middle school. To your point, people that know they're
yeah,
still
but
participating.
You have no coaching credentials.
Better.
Any kid that's that good wants a real coach. They don't want you.
Rietveld and I were gods. Like I said, upper echelon. A couple 21-year-old young kids with like
I think you're
energy
mistaken. I've seen you play basketball. You're not that good.
Well, not now. I'm old. I got bad legs, ankles, and knees. Anyway, you've done coaching on the soccer field. Any thoughts and dreams of doing coaching on the basketball court?
No.
Assistant really. Coaching, keeping score, anything.
Oh, I keep score. I like keeping score.
You do the book? That. Okay. That sounds about right. Make sure the fouls are allocated properly.
Yeah, well, so we typically in both of the leagues, especially the middle school league, they have one person that keeps score like per player and fouls. They don't count like assists or rebounds or steals or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
No, of course. Who cares?
You keep that, and then the other person works the clock, which is basically it's a running clock, except for the second and fourth quarters. They stop on the whistle the last 2 minutes, and I think the first and third, the last 10 seconds for some reason. I'm like, that seems dumb, but whatever.
That's extremely dumb,
They also tend to have subs in the half. They're like 8 minute quarters, so I'll stop the clock at around 4 minutes when the ref calls it.
Halfway through the quarter. Gotcha. Okay. So you keep the books. Interesting.
Yeah, it's fun because you have a better seat. So like I'm sitting right in the middle and I can see it.
The crowds are so deep typically that, yeah, thank God you have a courtside seat. At
and it just
level.
Gives you something to do while you're watching the, like you have to watch the game. Cause,
well, yeah, you have to pay attention. You got to put your phone away.
Yeah.
You can't chat with the other parents. You got to actually see what's
going
on.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Pay attention to the numbers. Okay. I see coaching in your future, Todd. I want to see you in a shirt and tie.
I would be willing to do it. I don't feel like I have a strong enough basketball knowledge to really explain things.
You don't, but you just said it doesn't matter because these girls don't know what the fuck.
Well,
like,
it's interesting because
fundamentals enough.
Like in the middle school league, maybe. Like there are people that are way too into it and their daughters.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my older daughter. Yes. Their daughters tend to be like the best players on their team.
Sure.
And you can tell the dad is like, you know, burnout high school basketball player or whatever, like
long lost glory. Yeah.
And I'm like, they get very like arguing at the refs about calls. I'm like, guys, just chill the fuck out with this stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Some of them are much more disciplined. It's my daughter never seems to be on those teams. She always has the kind of like the coaches aren't bad, but they're not like, they don't have the team running with like elite efficiency in the practice. Like the layup line improves by maybe 20% over the season, not like 95%.
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you.
Because they're not running hard drills. Coaches kind of seem like assholes. Part of me is glad that she doesn't have one of them, but I don't know.
Luck of the draw, though. Maybe next year.
So they do evaluations on the kids, and basically I think they rank them probably 1 through 5, and then they try to assign like if you have 8 players on a team, you get like 2 really good players and 2 really bad players, and everyone else is somewhere in the middle. So that they try to make it so that the teams are evenly weighted. Obviously, if you're a coach, you get your child. So, but they still have to evaluate those people. So if your kid's one of the top 5%, they still count as one of your good players. I think I might have told you this, but my daughter's team last year, like one of her best players also played like travel lacrosse and never came to any of the games. So it was like a huge disadvantage because even in like the middle school age, like if you have one good player, it can really swing how good your team is. And if that player never shows up, like basically flakes on the season, your team's kind of fucked because you've lost one of 2 good players that you might have, or like great
That's
players.
Yeah.
So
is it like a rotisserie league system? Like at the end, like going into next season, are there trades that are made? Fantasy football league points at play? No. Okay. Or fantasy basketball?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know. I think they just evaluate, and I think that the commissioner or whatever just assigns players other than the coach's kids. I assume. I don't know.
The backroom shenanigans.
I think you could probably ask. There's it does seem like there are a couple teams that are always stacked, but yeah. I don't know if that's because, again, the coach's kid is really good and then they just pick up another player they know is good or request that player.
Gotcha. And is this is just local rec league? It's not a
Yeah, they had last year they had a travel league, which my daughter tried out for, but there were only like six people that tried out, so everybody made it, but then they just they're like, there wasn't enough interest, so we just folded it. Because so stupid. They were gonna have a travel league, they're gonna play other travel teams in the area. But yeah. You also had to play in rec, you had to play both. I was like, what's the fucking point then?
Huge time commitment.
Yeah.
That makes it less fun. It's more of a
And I think they also couldn't ordeal. Find a coach. So.
Come on, man.
I think like the kids that are good will just play high school ball and everyone else will just stop playing in high school. I don't know if they have a high school rec league.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's kind of sucks.
Like it's not like you live in a tiny town and
I mean, there but may be. I haven't looked. I just know this group is grouped by as like 6th, 7th, and 8th all play in the same league.
I see. Well, Godspeed to all the sport endeavors of my nieces over there. Hopefully they find something they enjoy. Maybe the snow club. Is it called the snow club? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It's a stupid fucking name. Maybe the snow club Agreed. Will stick. Is that all they do is ski? When I call it the, I don't know, ski club.
I mean, you can snowboard.
Oh, okay. Ah, yeah, I guess that's fair. Still, snow club, stupid. Also, what's are they feeding the kids? Or do you have to pack a dinner?
I don't know.
Unsure? Well, trust me, you'll know if she goes the first time. It's like, I'm starving.
I don't really know.
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking at the website, and it looks like it just stops at girls' middle school league.
That's crazy.
It kind of sucks. Like, you need activities to do in high school, and not
more so than middle school.
Not everybody's going to make it to the high school basketball team.
No one is. 10 people are. What about the other 170 kids or whatever that are of that same age that have been playing through elementary and into middle school? That's nuts. You need to move to a different county or however that
They do have works. A boys 13 through 15 league. Interesting. Maybe there's just not enough interest. I can't imagine there
Sexist.
Wouldn't be.
Well, nowadays, I'm sure she could join the boys league if she wanted to. She's going to pick up her game. That would get
the
physical.
Boys, not to be sexist, but the boys are way better than the girls are.
Of course they are. That's what I just said. She's got to pick up her game. Maybe lift some weights or something. Got to throw bows like her dad. Get down low.
Yeah, I'm Plus surprised neither. My younger daughter, when she first started playing basketball a couple years ago, and I would be like, get in her face, and she would do the thing where she just sort of stood over them. And she actually was good defense, but she's become like too in her head about it, and she won't do that. I'm like, just stand in front of them. Because little kids can't dribble out of anything. I mean, again, they triple and double dribbled, but they will try to, but
if you
do that, they tend to freak out. I mean,
of course,
if there's like three people over you just standing there looming, even if they're not touching you, you're like, shit, I don't really have anything I could do.
You're going to immediately walk, by the way, probably not get called, but yeah, you're going to be completely trapped. I totally get that. That's when you make that skip pass that you were saying your younger daughter is looking for.
The other thing I would say in the younger league that's frustrating is like, so basically, they can't full court press on defense, and they have a line that's past the mid court. That's like a, I don't know,
hash
5 feet that you're not supposed to play defense. It's another 5 feet to give you. And some kids, the aggressive girls, will run up and steal the ball, and they'll be some. The coaches are the refs in my younger daughter's league because it's a clinic. Mm-hmm. It's not a league, and. Yeah. Some of them don't ever call that and other ones do. So like, if they don't call it, it's just like an advantage, which it's frustrating. It's like, you're not supposed to be able to do that, but if nobody's calling it, then it's like, it's an advantage.
That's
when
you yell
for
from
team.
The stands. Hey,
I mean,
ref.
It does happen. Parents will be like, "Hey, they're not supposed to do that," because they're basically cheating.
I'd be yelling immediately.
So this is the kind of stuff you have to look forward to.
Again, all the stuff I'm telling you to do, I will be doing. I will be the coach.
How's your daughter on the height scale? Is she like average, tall, or?
I think height. So at first she was way behind. Like 10th percentile for a lot of stuff. Then she moved up to 25th, and her last point, which was 5 months ago, I think she's 50th.
Okay.
On a lot of that stuff, which is fine. Like that's
yeah.
Neither Jamie nor I are super. I mean, Jamie's a little higher.
Your daughter or your wife's pretty tall.
A little
tall.
Taller than average. Yeah, she's 5'8". She's taller than average, but
yeah, I would think your daughter could expect to be in
a
5'6", 5'7" range.
That'd be great. Shooting guard, yeah. Come down, bomb a three.
Yeah, we got to work on those handles.
Splash. We're working on her handles.
I mean, do you think there's a sport you'll want her to play? Or are you going to encourage her to do what she wants, or?
I mean, I'll let her do
tackle football.
I'll let her try whatever she wants, but obviously I'm going to push
her towards the b-ball,
towards basketball, towards cross country and track when she gets to that age. But you know,
I need you to talk to my older daughter because we're trying to convince her to sign up for track, and she does not want to.
Well, how she did that little 5K experience a couple of years ago? How was that?
My wife was like, "I'm going to sign you up for track," and she fell to the floor crying and said, "I hate running. I don't want to do." I said, "You don't have to run. You can do something else."
Yeah, she's going to be a shot putter or a jumper. You want to be a jumper?
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming most of them are not. I mean, I don't know what she would be built for. Distance runner, I guess.
I mean, she wouldn't be built for anything in track, honestly. But yes, distance runner, if anything. She's not she doesn't appear to be a jumper unless she has some unseen talent
No.
I've never seen. You would know that watching her play basketball.
Sprinting,
probably
not
a sprinter.
Has the body type for?
Well, yeah. Then you got to default to at least middle distance, if not long distance.
Yeah,
work on that
stamina. To be a steeplechaser.
There you go. Well, you said you can't jump. That could be a problem.
I don't think they actually have steeplechase, but
no, they wouldn't. They could at the high school level, but they wouldn't at this point in time for her.
I mean, she might be good at pole vault.
I said that. I said pole. Oh. Get that upper body strength though.
She's pretty strong. I think she has upper body strength. Right. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Like
maybe discus.
She's strong and fit. She's just not like, I wouldn't say explosive.
Mm. Okay, so sprinting's definitely out.
Yeah.
Maybe like 800. The toughest event, in my opinion, in track and field. 800 meters.
Why is that the toughest?
Because it's the perfect combination of pain and torture. Like It's just long enough that you're
sprinting for too long, basically.
Right, exactly. 800 is brutal. I fucking hated the 800. I only did it a couple of times.
That seems like something that I would, like the distance I would want to do.
Yeah, right. It's hard. It's really hard. Because again,
I'm not saying
I'd be
good
quick.
At it. I wouldn't want to do anything longer than 800.
Of course. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But you're too slow to do the 400 or anything shorter. I understand. But it was rough. Those guys are tough. They train like distance runners, but they have to have the speed of sprinters.
I mean, I was pretty quick. I certainly couldn't be.
Oh boy, here we go.
Outrun other sprinters, but I could keep up with pretty much anybody on the soccer field.
I was about to say that every soccer player would say that, and that would probably be true. That's why when I was in high school, the soccer team was recruiting me. They wanted me to come play soccer. I was like, I've never played organized soccer in my life. They're like, yeah, but you have stamina and you're quick. I'm like, great. I'm not playing soccer. I'd much that was a spring sport for men, right? I was like, I'd much rather run.
It's usually fall, but yeah.
Oh, is it fall? Well, then I'd much rather run cross country. Whatever it was, I was like,
fall
no.
Here. I don't remember what it was when we were in high school.
I can't remember. I just know the boys were one either fall or spring and the girls were the opposite. That's what I recall.
Maybe it was spring. I don't know.
I think it was spring because, like, for 8 seconds, I considered it. Because there was a period where I was like, I was like, I'm not a huge fan of track. Always loved cross country, but I was like, eh, not so sure.
Did you run track?
Yeah.
What Man, distance?
You went to Clemson, just started smoking weed and didn't remember anything your brother was doing.
Nobody told me what you were doing. God. Again, we didn't really have email or texting. No. So.
No, not in the mid-70s. I was mostly a miler. But again, I would occasionally do the 800.
Is that 1,600 meters or the actual
1,600 meters. Four laps on your local track. Yeah, it was a 1,600. You're right. It wasn't 1,609. They didn't start us in the waterfall back behind the line, as they should have to make it a true mile.
Is that what a mile is, 1,609?
1,609 meters, yeah.
Huh, I didn't realize it was that close.
If you do it that truthfully, you start behind the starting line. And so your first lap is always, you know, a second and a half, 2 seconds slower than the rest of your laps.
Interesting.
But they almost never did that. They always just started at the start-finish line, do four full laps and call it a mile. But yes, it was the 1,600 meters. And then occasionally we would do, the distance team would do a 4x400 at like a dual meet or whatever, just for the fun of it.
That's a relay? 4x400?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 4x4. And on several occasions we beat... not our top 4x400 team, but we'd always have a couple 4x400 teams. We would beat the B or the C 4x400 team. It's like, you guys are embarrassing. This is all you do. We're just fucking around.
Did they suck?
And we're beating you guys. It was
like,
just like the...
It seems like your baton handoff would penalize you.
It's not... with a 4x... You're not like running and looking forward. You're looking back to get the handoff. It's not like the 4x100 in the Olympics where those guys are just sprinting the whole time.
Gotcha.
It's much more low key, I guess.
Is there a 4x100?
Yeah. Boy, you don't watch the Olympics, do you?
I mean, I do, but there's a lot of shit that I don't give a fuck about.
Like all the track and field. Well, maybe start watching.
I like
it
track
with your
and field. Fine. I don't know. I haven't watched an Olympics in quite some time.
6 months away, Paris, baby.
Because I feel like. Again, with streaming and shit, it's a pain in the ass to, honestly, like, I know you can see all things real time, which has its benefits, but the evening package was actually more useful where they, like, and I know they still have that, like, collect the day's events.
Digestible bits, yeah.
Like, watch track and field for 45 minutes or an hour or whatever, and then we'll switch over to swimming and some gymnastics or whatever.
Diving, gymnastics, yeah. You have now found yourself in that audience that NBC Sports is targeting, where you care about basically three or four sports.
No, I'd still prefer to watch like table tennis badminton and all the fun sports. That's the downside. But I'd rather I don't want to watch like 12 hours of it. I want to see like if they could condense it into like a nice 90-minute segment. I'd watch that handball.
To be fair. Handball is fucking amazing. To be fair, Peacock on this last Olympics in Japan did a really good job with, you could go online and like just pick the sport and you could watch any match or highlights.
I know, but it's too much. That's what I'm saying. Like,
there is
I know
a lot.
You could watch highlights.
It's a huge
but
time commitment.
It also, the nice thing about primetime is like you feel like you're watching it live, even if you weren't. I know that's all ruined with the internet, but like.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna. Well, I probably can't watch it real time, and then watching it by myself kind of defeats the purpose. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I suppose. I mean, I guess that makes sense. I don't care.
It just sucks that there's less monoculture. Like, it's not like everybody sits down at 7 or 8 p.m. to watch the Olympics of the day without knowing what's happened, or maybe they learned.
Well, and like you said, it was much tougher. With it in Japan, and it'll be tougher with it in France. I mean, it's only a 5-hour difference for you guys. You could watch stuff live during the day while you're working, 6 hours, whatever. But yeah, and the other thing, the other advantage you didn't have is that I took full advantage of was my DVR. Because it was on, obviously, NBC.
Well, the Peacock thing, you can watch it anytime. But again, like if you heard like, oh, I know Michael Phelps wasn't in the Olympics, but... Michael Phelps won a gold medal, and you're like, well, I don't want to fucking watch it. Now you already told me what happened.
Right. You know what's going to happen. Yeah, I'll probably have to take off notifications from ESPN on my phone this summer because I'll be hearing way too much stuff about.
It's annoying. You know, I'm like,
the big races.
I get that they have to share that information, but I'm like, if I already know who won or who didn't win, then it's way less interesting to watch.
Well, then you got to watch it at 10 a.m. on CNBC.
But that's not watch a realistic option either.
Because you don't have CNBC. Or you don't have those channels.
Yes, but I just mean, like, again, carving out an hour in the middle of the workday to
check out, it's not the easy.
Men's doubles badminton. Is it all doubles for badminton? Or
no, they're singles. Singles are fucking dope. Much people shorter diving. Rallies, but a bunch of diving and jump shots and kill shot. I fucking love badminton and table tennis. I actually prefer singles table tennis for sure versus doubles. Doubles is too crazy. It's too hectic. I can't follow the fucking ball. It's like, slow down, guys. I want to see giant shots and diving off the table. That's the joy of table tennis to me. But yeah, it's an effort. It certainly is. Much like when I watch the Tour de France every summer. It's 2 to 3 hours every day for 21 days. They have two rest days, but it's much a late night.
Rest for the viewers, not for the cyclists.
More for I feel like it. Or a chance to catch up. I might be 2 or 3 stages behind. But same thing. Like, I have to go social media dark to an extent because I don't want to hear, oh, there's a giant mountain stage today, you know, that starts at 6 a.m. mountain time, my mountain time.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, and I have friends who would post on Facebook. It's like, stop putting this shit up here. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I'm the stage behind. I got to watch it at night anyway. I'm up till 2 a.m. trying to catch up. I fall asleep. It's a whole thing. And I can't, to your point, I can't work and have it on my dual screen because all I'll do is pay attention to what's happening. I know people that can do that.
Wait,
not one of those
cycling?
People. I know. It seems stupid. I agree.
What are you paying attention to?
I'm just...
Legs pumping?
Yeah, I'm just watching them cycle. The Peloton. I don't know. Yes, I'm watching Le Peloton. That's correct.
Le Peloton.
Anyways, that's something to look forward to. That'll be an interesting series of podcasts this summer. Todd and I will do the deep dive on all the Olympic events. As we always do.
Will we? Okay, I'll have to watch some.
Yeah, you'll have to. Well, we'll discuss it ahead of time. But yeah, talk about some of the lesser known. We won't talk about the swimming or the gymnastics or the diving or even some of the premier track and field.
I'd watch diving.
We'll go deeper into it. I like diving too. I think that synchronized shit is fucking fascinating. I don't know how they do it.
Wild. How do they do it? They jump at the same time and synchronize.
Yeah, it's that easy. And they fucking go in no splash. Yeah. And
obviously, they practice.
Yeah. I should hope so. But no, Todd and I will go deep into some handball matches. We'll track the leaders there. Water polo. I enjoy watching a good water polo match. Specifically the men. They beat the shit out of each other and they don't drown. It's amazing. I don't know how they do it. I know you've got experience, lot of experience in the
polo. A lot of experience. A couple seasons.
Kind of walk us through
water polo.
Walk us through what's happening.
Yeah. You know, see that? He kicked him in the nuts. Means. You're not supposed to be allowed to do that, but I saw it happen.
So, that's something to look forward to. Just here in a couple months. It'll be here before you know it. I think it's July. In fact, I know it's July because the Tour de France is not finishing on the Champs-Élysées as it's done for like 90 years. Because of the Olympics.
Because of Les Olympiques.
Les Olympiques.
I don't know if that's how you say it. But
probably not.
So I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds good. Stick around for that. I mean, obviously, if you're hearing me say this, you're 85 minutes into this episode where we talked about wood again for 15 minutes at the outset. You'll clearly be listening when we do the Olympic recap 6 months from now. So looking forward to that. Anyway. All right. Anything else, Todd?
I thought of something, but now I forgot what it was.
That's a crying shame. All right, so we move forward. We'll call it a show. Like I said, new year, same bros, same wood chat. We thank you for joining us. Hit us up on Twitter. I keep saying Twitter. Who cares? Hit us up on X or Instagram. The_bro_pod. Shoot us an email. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. check out our website, bropodnetwork.com. And yeah, wherever you're listening to this, give us a like, give us a share, tell a friend, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube, which I believe has one video to date. So really blowing up. We're going to get that silver play button here soon. With your help, we appreciate
it. What does that mean?
Spread the word. I think silver is 100,000 subscribers.
Do they actually change the color of the button?
Gold is 1,000,000. No, no. They will. You have to pay for it, but they physically will send you.
They will
a button
give you a physical button
that says 100,000. Congratulations on 100,000 subscribers.
That's nice.
So yeah, looking forward to that. It is nice.
But they make you pay for it. That seems.
Of course. I mean, think about it.
I guess they could take it out of your ad revenue.
They could do it, and they may do that. They may have that as an option, but. Yeah, they can't just be giving that shit away. They're running a business here.
Well, how many people have 100,000 subscribers? 100,000 people?
Thousands? Maybe tens of thousands? Maybe 100,000? And 1,000,000 obviously is fewer than that, but plenty of people. So,
right,
saying a fucking chair.
I just Googled how many YouTube channels have 1 million subscribers, and it says less than 40,000 channels have 1 million subscribers.
Okay, that's a lot.
Less than 40,000. Jesus Christ. There aren't 40 million people. Like, what the fuck?
There aren't 40 million people? Sure there are. On YouTube? Of course there are.
Oh, sorry. Not 40. Whatever 40,000 times 1 million. There aren't 40,000 1 millions.
Oh, God, you're such a moron.
I was thinking billion.
Also, idiot, you can be
I know you can
the consumer of YouTube
channels,
and subscribe to hundreds of channels.
I'm just surprised that there are 40,000 channels that have 1 million subscribers. That seems like a lot.
That seems pretty high. I mean, that's a tough nut to crack to get to 1,000,000 subscribers. But, you know, who knows? I would guess 5 to 10% of them are not legitimate 1,000,000 subscriber channels. Like, there's a lot of bots in there. You know, fuck, who knows? I don't know. But that number sounds about right.
So
YouTube's
my,
been out 15
my
years.
My pals, not personal pals, but the No Dunks feed, basketball podcast, I think they were trying to get to like 100,000 subscribers. They were at like 80 or something.
It's hard with a podcast.
They have 93.5. That seems like a lot. 1,000,000 subscribers. Jesus. That's like your Jake Paul kind of dipshits.
Yes.
I feel like to get the
Jake Paul, Logan Paul. Sure. That would be one example, and there's plenty of others. But yeah. Yeah, it's tough to do. Good luck to them. But I feel like when you get to that point, what'd you say, 93.5? Like, it's with momentum, you'll get there. They'll get to 100K.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's just a matter of time.
I'm looking at the people that I subscribe to, and very few of them are over 1,000,000. Taskmaster is.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know if I have anybody that's over 1,000,000. Certainly no one that I personally know, obviously. Let's see.
The NBA is 21.2 million subscribers. That feels like cheating,
count.
Though.
Yeah, I don't think he may be.
Scott Hoffman has 7 subscribers.
Fuck yeah, baby. This guy's 792,000. Yeah, I don't think
I think most of those things are like brands, because like Wired Magazine has 10.8 million. So like getting over 1,000,000, I feel like
it's tough for
the number
individuals
of individual
too.
Like creators.
Sure.
Is probably under 10,000, I would guess, or under 1,000 probably.
Like I follow Dude Perfect. Dude Perfect has 60 million, but they're a very rare exception.
But yeah, I think most of those over 1,000,000 are more like Nestle or Coca-Cola,
right,
or whatever bullshit like that.
There's a magician I follow, 7.15 million, Chris Ramsey.
Good for Chris.
Yeah, he's just an individual. He's also been battling depression because of the pressure to keep his channel going, and he's very forthcoming about that. So, again, I sincerely wish him well. He's a very entertaining Canadian magician who has some pretty cool videos, so hope he does well for himself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to eschew the 1,000,000 subscribers because of the pressure.
Yeah, that's why. The pressure to upload more than one goddamn video? Is that what you're talking about?
It's a lot of work, man.
Fucking slack. No, it isn't. You just upload it, walk away for 30 minutes, and come back.
I have to format it first. And it took like 9 hours to upload.
Yeah, it takes a while when you first do it, but then you get in the rhythm, much like I do with every week posting content.
Yeah, but you're already in the rhythm.
BroPodNetwork.com. Yeah, well, welcome to life, Todd. You got to start. Sometimes it's a little work to get over the hump. I wish you well.
All right, friends, keep humping.
Yeah, keep humping. What? I don't even know what channel this is that I'm following. The Beefmaster? Oh, this is a guy that does home.
Like, what the fuck is
that? That really scared me. No, he does like home improvement projects. I think I followed him because he did some lighting stuff that I had to watch. Yeah, had to install a new faucet. That's what it was. And replacing a bathroom vanity light fixture. Okay. That makes sense. Some of these I have not watched in a very long time. Anyway, all right. Like I said, thanks for listening. Thanks for following. And my dog just ran into the door. And thanks for tuning in, helping us spread the word. New year, same bros, as I've now said three times. So, with that in mind, thank you so much for listening. And until next week, everybody.
See you.